The word of God from the prophet Micah, chapter 7. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast them, all our sins, into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Poetry is powerful, whether it is a Shakespearean sonnet or the latest pop song. The thoughts are condensed into short phrases. The poetry of the Old Testament is often the same way. It has very short phrases expressing a thought in a continuing action, and then either emphasizes it again by parallel or intensifying or contrasting thought. For example, our text says, "You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham." Those are not opposite thoughts, but parallel thoughts, because God's truth is his mercy to his people. We have three simple thoughts in this text, simple in their wording, but profound in their significance for us. God is unique. No one is like him. He does not hold grudges. God casts away our sins into the depths of the sea. And God speaks truth and mercy according to his promises. First of all, God is unique. There is no one like him. No other God, no human hero, no fictional superhero can be what God truly is: compassionate and not holding grudges. If we look at gods in other religions, they are just like us, sometimes vengeful or fickle, and they reflect all the weaknesses of fallen mankind. Greek gods, Roman gods, Norse gods are imperfect reflections of our own human foibles. Do you want a God who sins the same way you do? The gods of Hinduism, Islam, and Buddhism reflect human ideas, good and bad. But none compares to God as he reveals himself to us in the Holy Scriptures. The God who saved Noah, the God who delivered Israel, the God who sent his only begotten Son as the Savior of the world. Here we find God who promises forgiveness and a Savior, who promises a Savior as soon as Adam and Eve had sinned. Here we find God who deals patiently with his people again and again, even though they turn away from him so often. And this is why our text in the prophet Micah asks this rhetorical question. Rhetorical because the answer is obvious. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity? Yes, we have iniquity. We do sin. We transgress God's commandments. We trespass by going where we should not go. But God pardons us by his mercy in Christ. He does not retain and hold on to his anger forever, because his delight is in mercy. He wants to have compassion on us because we are the crown of his creation, and he will subdue, he will get rid of our iniquities. He will control them and remove them. That's why the true God is unique, the only real God. There is no other God, as we know from the first commandment. This is how God describes himself when he gives us the Ten Commandments. He adds these words, that he will visit the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. But it also says, showing mercy unto thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. There is only one God. We don't have to wonder which God we should fear, which God we should appease, which God we should respect out of a great number of gods. We love the one true Lord, our God, who made heaven and earth. The God who made heaven and earth clearly has almighty power. He demonstrates that through many miracles, which we see throughout the history of God's people in the scriptures, and which we see in the life and work of Jesus, our Savior. He has the power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, but more impressively, he has the power to forgive sins. Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven." And that's the next point of our text. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. This is a poetic image, but so astounding when you think what it really means. How deep is the sea? No human can live down that far in the ocean. There are creatures down there that we still don't know much about, or maybe haven't even ever seen today with all our sophisticated technology. And if God casts our sins into those deep depths of the ocean, they're gone. They can't burden us anymore. Whatever your sin, whatever burdens your conscience, know that God has taken it away, removed it, and drowned it so far away, thrown it so far away that it can never return. Who can do that? Who is a God like you? This God wants us to know his wonderful works, his wonderful miracle that he performed, so that he speaks to us with these holy words: "You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old." When you hear the words about Jesus, our Savior, and all the wonderful works of God recorded in the Bible, you are hearing the truth, not just fictional stories or metaphors, but reality and truth. And that truth always directs us to God's mercy. Truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham. Truth and mercy to us today, who hear that God pardons our iniquity and casts our sins into the depths of the sea. This truth and mercy opens a whole new life for us, a life of love for God and our neighbor, a life of thankfulness for being released from the prison of sin, a life that continues on a journey toward heaven. Now, as forgiven people of God, when we study science or art or history or business or whatever else, we do it as children of God who know that he delights in mercy. While you learn the tasks of being a Martha who made dinner for Jesus, you can also sit at Jesus' feet like Mary and hear his truth and his mercy for your forgiveness, to strengthen your faith, and to open the gates of heaven to all believers. God bless you in your studies and in your lives, as Mary's and Martha's, in the truth given to Jacob and the mercy given to Abraham. For our God pardons our iniquities. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.